Dear shooter, when shit gets real and you use that firearm in self-defense, are you ready for the consequences? Some situations can get a little sticky. An Arkansas man learned that all too well, how a rush to judgment can keep you wrapped up for way too long. And make sure that retirement community is safe before sending your parents. You might find they're more like mayhem than Mayberry.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Oh boy, where do you even start?
Consequences.
Oh yeah, right. So this came across, and it's the guy's name is James Barley. He's from Arkansas, and November 29th of 2024, he got into an altercation with his neighbor, ended up shooting and killing the guy.
Allegedly.
Well, no, not allegedly. He shot and killed the guy. However, because there was not a weapon found with the deceased and the distances, and Barley was supposedly the only one that fired a gun, he was initially charged with first-degree murder. It later got knocked down to negligent homicide, but then when he hired a private detective to start looking into the incident, once they started digging a little deeper, all of a sudden, charges were dropped, with the prosecutor even admitting that there was evidence supporting his claim to self-defense.
So you're saying the local law enforcement didn't really look?
They really didn't. And that really kind of sucks, because that really is truly their job.
To an extent, though. I mean, the local law enforcement's going to come on scene, right? They're going to evaluate what they can figure out happened from the scene, take statements in, corroborate a story best they can, and dead men tell no tales.
Right. Yes, but they did find later on, the private investigator found the bullet holes he had been shot at with a 30-06 and a 9mm, I think it
yep,
said.
So they
missed bullet holes. So they didn't walk the
they
house.
They didn't look at the scene real close.
No, they didn't. And you're getting shot at and threatened that the guy's going to kill you, and he's shooting at you with a 30-06, and you are defending yourself with a 9mm after you're the one that called 911 to report the incident and get people on scene.
So this is, a good case for the lawnmower cam?
Yeah, something.
Holy crap.
It's kind of one of those, this ended correctly. The charges were dropped. Everything's dismissed. However, this guy has been wrapped up in the legal system fighting this for 9 months.
Yes, but he had to hire a private investigator to get this far. If he wouldn't have,
right,
he'd still be sitting there.
Right, and that's the point. Just because you are in the right in a self-defense shooting does not mean you are not going to get rolled up into the legal system.
No, you're going to get rolled up in the legal system. That's a given. You let a dog off the chain like that, and you're going to jail.
Yep.
And if you're the only one living, the burden of proof shouldn't be on you, but it is.
Well, and unfortunately, that's society. Our Constitution says that you're innocent until proven guilty, but unfortunately, they still kind of treat you as guilty until they can prove your innocence.
Yeah, and that gets blurred all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But in cases like this, let's remember something very clearly. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove in court.
That's right.
Or what you can pay for.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, he paid for, got to prove it, though. Right? It took a third-party investigator to do the police
job. Should have never happened.
And that, yeah, and that's my question. Do you think this guy has any legal grounds to go after the police department for not properly investigating the scene?
For the duress of his 9 months, yes, he has a civil suit.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I mean,
well, and you get lost wages that time with his 2-year-old child. Yep. He lost watching her grow. There's yep. really no monetary value.
Oh, you can assign one. Lawyers are good at that. They'll find a number. But it's a civil suit against the municipality. And we talked about this in a couple podcasts back. They have immunity from doing their duty. Mm-hmm. Anything they did while they were on shift classifies as their duty. So they have immunity, the specific officers. But the city, the municipality, they hold a liability insurance just for these types of things. People are going to screw up.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, because of the legal wranglings and the attorneys and the court dates and everything, yes, this guy missed time. He's missed time from work. He's missed time with his family. Now, it doesn't say if he was actually held, if he was detained this entire time. Chances are he was not.
A murder charge probably came with a very hefty bond or some bail.
Mm-hmm.
He was out.
Yeah. Well, and they couldn't do the first degree murder, so they knocked it down to negligent homicide, which was what they were taking him to court over. Typically, that's not a "we're going to detain you."
Well, and if you're a flight risk, they will, but he wasn't.
Right.
He was the one that called 911, and he was the only one home when law enforcement showed up, so I'm pretty sure he's not a runner.
And no, his wife and daughter were in the house at the time.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying the other house, there was dead guy, and then the guy that was with him was not there anymore.
Right.
Well, I will tell you that had it been me that gone through that 9 months, I'd be happy to be out and exonerated and be willing to let it go.
I would, too. Depending.
I don't want to deal with that anymore, and have to.
No. No, but then again, I mean, you hire the right attorney, and they just take care of it for you. Now, they're going to take 60% of whatever you get.
I will say, if you had the USCCA self-defense insurance,
that's right,
it would have minimized that for him quite a bit.
That's right. And that was one of those things, you know, USCCA's got great insurance. Self-defense Law Shield is another good one. NRA tried this a few years ago and really kind of bungled it. That's one of those things, like if you're looking at this type of insurance, the self-defense insurance and stuff, really pay attention, because the one thing, and this is why the NRA's, it was Carry Guard. And the reason that it failed was that it was a reimbursement program. So after you went through all of these legal loopholes and you lost your house and you lost all of your savings fighting all of this and you're exonerated, then the NRA is going to reimburse you up to, it was a certain dollar amount. And that's why it failed horribly. Because these other guys, you know, you make a phone call and the lawyer's there. And they're there to protect you from the get-go.
It's one of your first phone calls you make.
Right.
And you're right. The NRA did not think that one through. And they got their butt handed to them in the marketplace, because it's just a better program from the USCCA.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping maybe NRA might revisit that at some point.
I'm working on it. I'm finding that the things and suggestions that I have to say and offer make them scratch their heads over at headquarters, and they take time for them to process, and then they come around to, well, that was a good idea. So it's their idea now, which is fine.
Yeah, that's...
But it's a process. It's frustrating in the beginning, because I just want to see them go, yep, you're right, let's do this. They don't do that.
Well, yeah, and what I've seen with NRA, and look, NRA's on the right track. They really are. But a lot of it is, yes, we need to rectify some things, we need to change some things, we need to update some things. Yes, we need to do this, but we don't want to change anything.
There's a heavy, I don't want to rock the boat thing going on over there right now. And it's mostly because of the turmoil that they've recently gone through. Positions have changed. People have left the organization, and people are a little nervous about their job, and rightly so.
Well,
squirrel.
Yeah,
it
always.
Is a squirrel, but it all focused around the idea that they had a program that was great until the lawyers got a hold of it and they botched it. And it relates directly to this guy's case. If he'd had the USCCA insurance and called the lawyer in the beginning, it would have minimized his time of pain and strife. The NRA wasn't going to do anything for him in that regard if he had the carry guard, other than reimburse him after the fact, which would have been nice, but while you're going through it, it's not enough.
Well, and let's face it, though. I mean, you were just in Arkansas not too long ago. What, a couple weeks?
All right. Yeah, two weeks.
It's Arkansas. The guy can lose everything he has to his name, and he's out, what, $50?
Some of them are like that. I will tell you, some of them are like that. We went to a barbecue joint that was on the golf course. And where we're sitting there, a couple tables over, there's folks talking about how they've eaten here for 20 years. And they've been through 3 burn downs. Barbecue joints evidently produce a lot of flammable material.
How does anything burn down in Arkansas?
Because you
stick a shovel in the ground and hit water.
Dude, the bricks are growing plants.
Yeah.
They don't even need soil. It's wet. The burn downs, I'm pretty sure, were insurance claims.
That makes sense. Yep. You know, I need a new cooker, so let's just burn down the whole joint and start over. Because I mean, most of those. I mean, when we were in Louisiana, I mean, some of the best places we found were just tin shacks.
Yes.
And that.
Yes. Never be afraid to try the local food.
No. Well, be conscious of what you're doing.
That's probably
fair. I mean, we got made a spectacle of at one joint.
Well, you were the out-of-towners. I mean, they hadn't probably seen white folk in that place in a long time.
I don't think they had.
and nothing racist about it. It's just the way it is.
I mean, they were giving us free beer to keep us there longer.
Well, they were calling all their buddies. Hey, there's white women here. Come down here.
Yeah. The South is in the Deep South. Like it's different, and I would go back in a heartbeat. I had so much fun down there.
But this guy did get exonerated.
He did. He got exonerated. But it's cautionary. You know, this is the world that we live in, and everything is a rush to judgment.
Well, the court of public opinion has got a lot of teeth.
It does. It absolutely does. I was having this conversation earlier with a reporter friend of mine that, you know, perception is reality.
Absolutely.
You know, we've talked about this, and it's true in the industry. It's true in self-defense. It's true in everything. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, be aware. Know that if you have to use that firearm, you know, think worst case scenario.
And you're probably halfway there.
You probably are. And that sucks because it puts people in a position where they're afraid to actually use the tool to defend themselves. Because now I'm going to be prosecuted.
It causes hesitation. But if you don't think it through, that turmoil you're going to go through is 10 times worse.
Right.
Because now you've got this chip on your shoulder because you know you were in the right.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't help you in the discussions of how things are going.
No. And we see this all the time. We see the armchair quarterbacking, the Monday morning quarterbacking, because I had one of my students had sent me a video, and it was a body cam. It was a police-involved shooting, and it was the body cam footage. Cops got this guy. I mean, he's getting on his knees, getting down on the ground, and just as he starts to lean forward, he pulls a gun, and the officer had to shoot him. Mm-hmm. It was a good shoot, but it highlighted how fast this happens and how fast you have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to think it through.
We talk about this all the time. If you're going to carry, you have got to think it through before you put your clothes on that day.
That's right.
This is a real thing.
But that you, that's what you're going to be dealing with, is you're going to be dealing with a million people that are going to be looking at your case and looking at your story, and they're going to be picking it apart from the comfort of their living room or their office, and they have no idea what you just went through. They have no idea how fast it happened.
All they know is what was written in the police report.
That's right. If they even know that.
The lawyer has that privilege, and they keep a lot of that wrapped up not to screw the court case.
Right.
So, yeah, the police report's going to be what they're going to have to read.
Right. And we talk about that all the time. Whenever we, you know, there's a major incident, you know, we want to give it 24 to 48 hours. Let the information come out before we start forming opinions and doing analysis and trying to figure this out, because 9 times out of 10, the initial reports are dead wrong.
A lot of times they have it exactly backwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to social media.
I mean, look at Kyle Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. When that story broke, they had it exactly backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. They made it out to sound like this kid went down there looking for trouble.
Right.
He did not.
Well, and even the prosecutors, if anybody followed that court case, I mean, that prosecutor was just, he was a poster boy for the aggressive, you know, I'm out to get you prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Now, watching that case, he was the most incompetent prosecutor I think I've ever seen.
Close.
I mean, it was bad. You know, when his own prosecutorial witness basically got up on the stand and said, "Yeah, I fucked around and found out. Oh, and by the way, I'm a sex offender, a child molester."
Yeah, all that came out on the stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of fun to watch that prosecutor's case fall apart right in front of him.
In 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. It was enlightening to see how they got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to double down for weeks on bad information. Mm-hmm. Because they were trying him in the court of public opinion.
Right. And that was, I mean, that was, but it goes to show, like, this was, you know, this man in Arkansas, this was a one-on-one incident. Rittenhouse was one on a mob. So it doesn't matter. It, you know, you could be fighting the mob, you could be fighting your neighbor. Either way, guess what? You're probably going to court.
Guaranteed.
So be prepared. But again, the lesson here is, you know, know that this is probably going to happen, but as much as you can, don't let that make you hesitate.
No, when
do what you got to do.
You got to move.
Yep.
What else you got?
Well, let me throw in a couple of commercials, because this next one's a doozy.
All right.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best. And your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance.
All right, you want to know what else I got? Here's what I got. Make sure and check out your senior living communities like you would check out the schools for your kids. Because apparently the ones in Detroit, it's welcome to the jungle, bitches.
Well, I will tell you that there's a lot of shenanigans that go on in nursing homes.
Well, you have no idea about this shenanigan is really weird for a senior living home, or maybe it's not. I don't know.
Well, let me preface this by I was reading an article, and this was several years ago, and it was one of those ones that took me by surprise, and it was just so, like, wow. It just stuck. and it was the largest consumers of ED medications are senior centers. And these aren't married seniors.
They're widowed seniors.
Yeah, typically widows, widowers. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this is what happened in Detroit. There was some kind of love triangle going on between a 65-year-old woman and two men in their 70s, one of which was in a wheelchair.
All right, you go, girl.
Right?
I mean, one's got wheels. The other one, what was his story?
So, you know, when she starts dating this new guy, the I don't know if it was the former guy or the primary or the secondary, or she may have a tertiary in there. I don't know, but
not painting her in a really nice, wholesome picture.
Yeah, so
she's in a rest home. Party up.
Well, and I think that's a lot of what goes on. They're like, "What the hell have I got left to lose?" You know what? You know,
there's some validity to that.
You know, and we know a gal in her 70s that, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's not that bad looking. Now, she gets white girl wasted and won't leave me alone, but...
She's tried to take you home every Christmas since we've been hanging out at that park.
Oh, she's going to teach him things, that's what she says.
Probably.
I'll guarantee that he learned something. It might not be healthy, but he'll learn something.
Well, so now we know what's going on at these, you know, senior living communities. Anyway, so the first guy gets mad that she's now dating the second guy, and he's going to go and kill the second guy. Well, as he walks in, somebody, fast thinking, manages to tackle him.
I thought he shot the guy first before he was tackled.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't shoot the guy, but somebody saw what was going on, tackled the guy. His gun, he dropped the gun or it was knocked away from him. But somebody else grabbed the gun, shot the guy.
The woman.
The woman
grabbed
did.
The gun and shot the other guy. So he shoots guy in wheelchair. Somebody tackles, and they don't say who tackles this guy, whether it was another person living there or staff, doesn't really say. Knocks the gun out of his hand, and the chick that's in the middle of this triangle shoots the guy.
So she signs up for a homicide after
two murders. No, they put it as self-defense.
Because the guy opened fire first.
He opened fire first.
But did he point it at her?
It doesn't really say.
So the way you're laying that out, I mean...
But did shoot her, maybe her favorite boyfriend? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the way you're laying that out is, I mean, dude in wheelchair got shot in his room, right? Dude that shot the guy in the wheelchair gets tackled, drops his gun, and the distraught 85-year-old hussy.
65.
She's 65.
She's in a home at 65? Okay.
Well,
so
it's not a home. They call it a senior community.
There's a reason why kids have dumped their parents off, I'm sure.
This might be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, so she's trolling if that's the case. But she shoots the guy that shot the guy in the wheelchair.
Yes.
All right. So this is not looking good for her.
They dropped charges. Yeah,
there's no charges.
Well, what are they going to take away from her?
They claim self-defense. Well, I mean, if she's that spry at 65, she might have another 20, 30 years to spend in prison. Of course, I don't know. They're looking at her behavior here and going, she would corrupt the prisoners.
Yeah, so I really want to ask your mother, Jason, what her community living's like at her senior home.
Yeah, I don't want to know, because it is a, yeah.
Ask her if there's any love triangles going on.
That's not a conversation I can have with my mother. I would sit quietly in the room if you asked her that question.
I don't ask her in person. I'll ask her through the phone.
Oh, geez, no. She won't talk on the phone. No, her community's one of these adult end-of-life type of communities where they live there, they come and go as they please, and as they get to a point where they need more medical hands-on care, they transition to a different wing of the facility.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Bingo night isn't always just bingo, y'all.
Well, somebody's yelling bingo.
Bingo and Well, bingo leads to bongo, I guess. Well, you know, I don't know.
The men are older. She's only 65. Maybe she needs two of them to be satisfied. I don't know.
I just, I'm floored that this guy got jealous enough to take up arms.
Well, and he shot two other bystanders, too.
Oh, so he was going to work.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my gosh. On that, firearms and assisted living, I didn't know that they combined.
I don't know that.
Well,
you
really
have security,
and I don't, and it doesn't sound like this is assisted living. This is the place is called Sheridan Place Apartments, but it's they rent it out to seniors.
Huh.
It's kind of a not.
So it's an apartment, but you have to be above 65 and above with no children, no pets, kind of thing. It's a one of those.
Gotcha.
Sounds like my parents' house in Arizona,
with a lot more places to live.
Yeah, well, it's Detroit, and that's just it. It's Detroit, right? This is not unexpected from there.
The gun laws in Detroit are pretty strict,
right?
So, yeah, I wonder how that all played out. Because I mean, was that a legal firearm that this old man had?
I mean, did she?
I don't think it matters anymore. He's dead.
Did she not get in trouble because the police didn't know how to write this shit down? I mean, we've heard of that before.
Well, and they say that the shooter is expected to survive. All four people that were shot are expected to survive.
Oh, wait. They didn't die.
They didn't die.
See, I misconstrued this story in my head way before out of the way.
Now they're outside drinking lemonade talking about the exciting evening they all had.
Oh, my God.
I want to know who the other two people that were shot. Well, no, there would have only been one other. No, two.
Two other people were shot.
Yeah, because the guy in the wheelchair, the guy that shot the guy in the wheelchair, and two others were shot.
We had to clean your liver out for like a month and then go in with a handle of whiskey and say, all right, tell us the story. There's something we're missing here.
There ought to be a lot of penicillin at that facility.
There's a vending machine in the corner that's got that stuff in it, I'm sure.
Probably.
ED meds and penicillin.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you take them concurrently, or is one like the morning after?
So
I'm going to set that down.
Yeah, why don't you just set that there?
I don't know. The shenanigans that I know go on at nursing homes, along this vein, I've not heard of them taking this far. I mean, there was one in Torrington, and my grandpa was in it, and he was grousing about some of the people in it because they were not acting appropriately for, you know, the dignified age that they were. And he coined the term that you don't lose your girlfriend, you lose your turn, which put a whole new level of gross at me when I was 20. But
I thought that was Torrington in general.
Well, the nursing home's no different.
They used to be Torrington High School alumni, I'm telling you.
Oh, my right. God. So, yeah. Yikes. So, yeah, word to the wise, vet your retirement community.
I don't think that's something you can vet. Do you go in there and go, hey, do you have a bunch of sex triangles going on here? I mean, what?
Well, you know, if you walk in, you see a bunch of pineapples, it's a clue.
That is a clue. Funny story, not nursing home, but we have friends that he took a job in Houston. And instead of putting down roots and buying a house, he bought a big RV and decided he was going to live in an RV while he was down there doing the job. Well, they liked the RV life, being able to pull up and go and travel and that whole thing. And so they're setting up shop in Houston, and she goes to the store and finds these pineapple Christmas lights and thought those would be kind of neat to hang out around the little patio until 9 o'clock at night. People started knocking on their door. And inviting him to the hot tub and the swimming pool. And so they learned real quick that pineapples have a meaning.
And they learned real quick that apparently in Houston it's a hot topic?
Pretty much everywhere, as I understand it. the upside-down pineapple is a sign of things
that
are
happened
welcome.
To one of our friends here recently in Sturgis. He wore that hot pink shirt with the pineapples all
oh,
over
yes.
it. Yeah. He found out why everyone wanted pictures with him.
Yeah, he said it was, what, the seventh or eighth woman that walked up to him and wanted a picture. He finally clicked.
Yes, and her hands were not in appropriate places while they were taking a picture. So Yeah, he had to change shirts. And what's funny is Brian is, he's not single. And he goes and does all the time. And I've seen him in this shirt more than once. But he happened to stumble into a crowd wearing the wrong shirt.
Well, it is Sturgis.
I mean, a crowd, right? What did they say? 1.2 million people go through Sturgis on an annual deal? He was bound to run into somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of law of averages there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yikes. All right. So, nursing homes. I mean, how would you go about vetting a nursing home?
I mean, talk to the residents, I guess.
So, while they don't want to talk to you, they don't know you.
Well, I mean,
you might be a narc.
Yeah, but it depends. I mean, is your grandpa good looking? I mean, see how they look at them.
Yikes.
Walk them through. See the looks that your parents are getting.
They may be looking forward to that.
And you
don't need to be the guy that judges that.
Ask them about their firearms policy. That might be a place to start.
True. That might be a place to start. And that's not a topic you can normally broach in the, we'd like to see your facility.
I don't know. More and more.
Wow.
I mean, gender reassignment for kindergartners and senior.
Oh, God. So nursing homes, let's fast forward 20 years when these folks are going to be looking into going into assisted living.
Oof.
And then let's look 40 years out.
Oh.
You think shenanigans now. I mean, there's going to be full-on
rights. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure this generation's going to make it to retirement.
You don't think so?
No. I think they're all going to die.
And medical enhancements and weird things that are in their body.
And the fact that they all live in a damn bubble. I mean, we grow up eating dirt. You know, we are hard to kill.
As long as the societal bubble exists, they're going to be fine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that societal bubble is awfully fragile.
It is.
You know that.
It is.
I mean, our generation, we grew up, we're the MacGyver generation. Like, we had to make do and improvise or die.
Yeah.
This generation, oh my God, they get a crack in their phone screen and it's the end of the damn world.
Well, I can buy a new one on Amazon and it's there that afternoon.
There's that too.
I mean, we had to make do because you weren't buying a new one.
No. No. And even here, you buy a new one, it's going to take 7 to 10 days to get here if you're lucky. That's if USPS doesn't lose the damn thing.
I got to tell you, I ordered 2 handguards off of Temu the other day just to see how bad it could possibly be. They were priced right. They were spec'd out right. They showed up. I ordered them on Friday. They showed up this morning.
Wow.
And for Wyoming, that's kind of unheard of.
I had something. I can't remember what it was, but when I hit the tracking on it, it was in Illinois. And it was slated to be delivered the next day. And sure as shit, if it didn't show up,
that's
I was
impressive.
Like, how in the hell? It was. I think it was FedEx, but it was like, even with that, I'm like, how in the hell are they going to manage that?
Yeah, I'm kind of floored. That whole logistics engine baffles me a little bit. But, and then they showed up, and they're not bad.
Really?
From the grand scheme of handguards, they're not bad.
But let's talk about the flag you ordered.
So I run a Garrison flag at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to debate between a 18 by 32 and a 12 by 25. And so I ordered a 12 by 25 flag. And I thought, all right, price is too good to be true. It was like $16. I mean, that can't be right. And it showed up, it was 12 by 25 centimeters.
And now hangs in a shot glass in his office.
It does. Yep. I got T-mood.
It's cheaper for a reason.
Well, is it you say that? I ordered a CNC router. Off of Temu.
And that thing's pretty impressive.
It shows up, and the damn thing's legit.
Mm-hmm.
It will do everything I'm asking it to do.
I mean, that's all that matters. I mean, look at Harbor Freight. We laugh at Harbor Freight, but I've gotten stuff off of Harbor Freight. I have a chop saw that I bought, and I bet I bought this thing 20 years ago. It's still going.
It does well. We did a lot in the bar here with it.
Huh? So, I mean, just know what you're getting yourself into. I'm glad we knew what we were getting into. So Brandy and I took off last week and went up on the mountain to go for, we've done the women's shoot for the Associated General Contractors Association. Well, this was one that my brother-in-law was putting on, and it was a razor ride. And he'd asked us to come up and kind of help be shepherds and make sure nothing went wrong and everybody stayed healthy. And we took a ride up to a place called Christina Lake. And if you know where this is, if you've ever been up there, you know that the quote-unquote road.
That's not a road.
It is a boulder-strewn canal.
Yes.
And our ranger has a few new scars because of it. But she and I had already been up this thing like 3 weeks ago. So when they said that, we both knew, and we kind of looked at each other and went, this is going to hurt.
Well, because he said there's a lot of them were renting side-by-sides because they had never done a side-by-side before. So you have a group of people where some are experienced and some have never driven one before. And let's go up, Christina. That's always a great way to break your ass in.
Oh, we had one guy that showed up in a Ford Raptor.
So to put it clearly, we started with 15 machines.
Yeah.
That includes the Ford.
Yep.
Get to Lake Gustav, which is a mile before Christina, or half mile or so.
Yeah.
13 machines make it to Gustav.
That's actually pretty impressive. Gustav's up there a bit.
8 make it to Christina.
Because they just didn't want to go, or they broke?
Well, the ranger bodied
little,
things.
Little column A, little column B.
Stayed home, and they all hopped into the people with the razors because it was kind of important at that point to have a little bit more suspension.
I said, see you later, bye. I went fishing.
Smart move.
I went across to Christina.
Oh, she did. And more power to her. I mean, my dog has now been a place I have never been.
I was kind of upset because now I'm sure it's a beautiful mountain lake when it's sunny, but it's raining and it's cloudy. And I was like, ugh, that road was crappy for this.
I'll stick around for a while. The weather's going to change.
The only exciting thing was is they somehow managed to build a dam up there.
Yeah.
And I'm
back in like the 50s.
Air support? Or did they build it from the rocks they could find around? Because there's no shortage of that shit.
Well, if you look at the tracks on a piece of big equipment, they're going to do better on that boulder field than wheels are ever going to do. So
I don't know. I wonder.
It was a rough ride in, don't get me wrong.
But they went up there and they were there for a month.
They left them there and they worked there. And yeah. But it is impressive that they got machines in there to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I heard that going to Lake Shoshone would be your next travel.
Yeah, so if you embrace Christina.
I've heard no. I've heard that's even worse.
Christina looks like I-25.
The road to Christina is actually quite smooth in contrast.
Yeah, but I will tell you, if you ever get the chance to go up there, hike up to Christina, go see it, whatever. But if you are interested in fishing at all, Gustav is the honey hole. I spent more time pulling fish off of my hook than I did fishing.
Now you just told the world about your fishing hole.
Yeah,
yes,
well.
Yes, but once they start up to Lake Gustav, it'll be a decision.
Well, I mean, you're 7.5 miles to Gustav, and that 7.5 miles took us 3 hours.
3 hours.
So we'll preface this by saying only the committed fishermen are going to make it.
Yeah.
I've been to both, Christina and Gustav, and the road is such a memorable, traumatic event for both my budget, my equipment, that I have no desire to go back.
Well, I mean, the skid plate on the bottom of our Ranger looks like a golf ball.
Yeah.
It builds character.
It does. It's yeah. It's more aerodynamic now.
Thank God you had the skid plate.
Oh, man. Well, and then, like, we developed, as we're coming back, like, we developed this rattle. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I'm like, oh, crap. We tore something up. Well, we get back, and I start digging around trying to figure out what's going on. We'd kicked up a couple of rocks up into the skid plate, and they were rattling around on top of the skid plate. And that's what was making the noise. And I was like, so It's everything.
You took souvenirs with you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Again, I have no desire to go back. Nope. I mean, if someone's offering a helicopter ride, I'm in.
I would do it. I would do it again in a Razor, something that's got a suspension built more for it.
It'd have to be a rock crawler because
yeah. You need to have 12 to 15 inches in your shocks.
At least. See, and I did Christina on a four-wheeler.
So I've heard that's actually a little bit easier.
Well, the shorter wheelbase does make it a little bit nicer.
Yeah. No power steering, which makes it a little rough.
And it's very technical driving. You are working the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Well, even in our Ranger, we have a two-seater, and it's short wheelbase, which helps. But it's also we're not real high off the ground. We don't have a lot of clearance. So, yeah, we hit a few rocks. And you're exactly right. It is very technical.
You got a plan where you're putting your tire, and not for that, but for where it's going to fall.
Exactly.
Next.
Exactly.
But road less traveled, y'all. No people.
That's true. It's very, very rare you see anybody else at Christina.
No. I think when we were coming out, I think we saw three other people going in.
Yep, that's fair.
And never saw anybody on the way in. So... Yeah, I mean, it is the road less traveled, and for good reason.
And Shoshone's, again, three times worse.
Yeah, no, I'll hike it.
Yep. That's a thing.
Because I'll at least show up with all my teeth in my head.
Mm-hmm. Unless you slip and fall.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I mean, some of those boulder fields are pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So you did that with a group of people that had no experience.
Right.
Yikes.
I mean, we had enough winches. We were going to get everybody out, but...
What was the most catastrophic equipment failure you saw?
I don't think we really had
one. Not really catastrophic. No, the truck actually gave up.
Yeah, about halfway.
That's because he didn't want to hurt it any more than he already had, probably.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I've seen guys break axles, spindles, take this guy, tires completely off the bead.
This guy probably didn't really care about that said truck, but
there was one Razor I thought was gonna blow a CV joint.
Oh, all right.
Because there was a couple times I watched him hit, and he had his tires turned all the way. Mm. I thought for sure he was gonna tear something up.
And smash the pumpkin.
He wasn't in a Razor though. He was in a Can-Am built like us.
Yeah, the Maverick.
But he was a new. In the field, that was a rental machine.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
And it got to the point, yeah, that was a rental
machine.
Well,
it was a rental, but he was not new.
And then the kids, he had two little boys with him. They chose to ride in someone else's Razor.
No, that wasn't, that's not the one I was talking about.
I'm sorry, Dad, we can't ride with you no
more. I was talking about the one that was the Can-Am in front of us, the one, the Maverick, the real high Zoot rock crawler one.
Yeah, well, that one's experienced. He just drank a lot on the way up.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, well, I was two hands on the wheel trying to keep us upright, but...
Yeah, you drink when you get there.
You do.
Holy moly.
Because you need it.
Yeah, but then you got to go back.
So, moral of the story, go out and have an adventure.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, if you're going to buy these machines and that's what you're doing for, you're going to go explore. You're going to end up in a situation like this at some point.
Yeah. I will tell you, if you're going to go out and do stuff like that, don't buy the workhorse. I mean, we bought a tool and we kind of use it as a toy, and its capabilities are limited in that respect.
Agreed. I understand you tried to turn yours into a submarine.
Well, I didn't. I let Brandy drive.
Oh.
And to her credit, holy crap, she's good.
I made it, so I brought some moss back. I mean...
Some? I spent an hour picking all the moss out of it.
And it wasn't completely submerged. You could breathe a little.
She didn't kill the engine, so.
And you don't have any special snorkels on yours, so it must not have been like over the doors deep.
No, it was about halfway up the doors. It was damn near to the seat. It was actually pretty impressive. Coming, you know, going across the first time. We made it really no problem. But coming back, you hit the soft spot first.
And the deepest
spot. And it was the deepest part.
And she got into it, started spinning, and she gave it the onion. And I'm just like, go, go, go. Because if you made it to the middle, there was like a big rock shelf in the middle. And once you're on that, you're good. But there was a second there where I was going, uh-oh, I'm going to get my feet wet.
I just kept, you know, giving it the onion until I started throwing mud at him, and we made it.
Well, sometimes that's all you can do. And if you stall out, well, you might have to go fishing for your machine.
Yeah, well, good thing we have a fishing hook attached.
Right, right. That winch is handy.
Oh, and, it, you know, when I put it on, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, everybody's got one. I'll bet I never use the damn thing because I got it. No, we probably used that thing a dozen times.
All right.
In fact, our first trip into Christina, we used it twice. Mm-hmm. Just because we got into a situation where we were awfully tippy. And I looked at Brandy and I said, you might want to get out. And while you're out, why don't you hook us to that tree?
Wait. So you kicked your wife out of the machine and made her run the cable.
Well, it was either that or I was on the uphill side of the tip, and it was straight down on her side. So I thought, if either of us is going to go down with the ship, I'd rather it be me.
That's probably fair.
So, but she got me hooked up to the tree, and I put a little tension on the line and got us crawled out of there. But it was
took two trees.
It was touch and go. I was on two wheels at one point.
Yeah. I mean, those roads... if you can call them a road, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. I've buried my truck to the mirrors in a snowdrift before, had to winch out.
I thought you had to dig out with a boat paddle.
That was a different trip.
Totally so. Different trip.
And when we winched out of the first one where we had the snow up to the freaking windows, we had to do it to the bottom of a T-post and pray.
That was the only thing that had any kind of stability we could latch on to. And it worked. I mean, the ground was frozen. It did just fine. But, yikes. It was a little sketchy. Yep.
Y'all come to Wyoming. We'll show you how to ride the roads.
We're going to go whether we should or not.
Well, and we've decided, you know, if you ever... Okay, so here's the thing. And we'll close out with this. If you ever decide you're going to go to South Africa, okay, and you want to prepare yourself for the roads over there, go drive Christina.
That's fair. Except you won't have that one guy standing by his hole.
Yeah.
Which he's filled back in and wants money for it. And before he leaves, he digs it back up so he has something to do tomorrow.
I wish we had that guy. It might be a little smoother. So until next week, blame the love triangle.
Yes.